scripture throughout the entirety of this chapter, but for the sake of time, I want us to begin reading in verse number 1 and read down through verse number 9. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege to be here. I thank you for each one that's come. And Lord, you know every heart. Your word tells us again and again that you know the hearts of men. Lord, you know if there's someone here today that's not saved. And Lord, if there is someone present that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that this day would be their day of salvation. Lord, I can't think of a better time than right now for them to trust you as their Savior. And Lord, I ask that you please speak through me the words that you want said. I pray for liberty and clarity of thought and speech that I might get out the exact words that would please you. And Lord, help us to be sure that we always give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for who you are, for all you do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as you know, is what most people across this country refer to as Easter. And even though Easter in its origins is 100% pagan and promotes immorality, this is the day that Christians have chosen each year to put special emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason why Easter is always celebrated on Sunday is because we know from the Bible that Sunday is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And that is also the reason why we come to church on Sunday, the first day of the week. In the Old Testament, under the law, the special day for those Jews, one of the special days of the week, was Saturday, the Sabbath. But the church comes together not on the Sabbath, but on Sunday, the first day of the week. And we come on Sunday because that is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And since today is the day we celebrate his resurrection, I want to preach a very simple message titled, He's Alive. How many of you are glad this morning Jesus is alive? Amen. Amen. Well, I want to show you from Luke chapter 24, six reasons why we know that Jesus Christ is alive. First of all, I want you to look with me here at Luke chapter 24 in verses 1 through 3. And I want you to notice here, we know Jesus is alive because the sepulcher is empty. The sepulcher is empty. In verse 1 it says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. From another gospel we learn that it was about the dawning of the day. But very early in the morning, they, and the they is a group of women that are referenced in the previous chapter in verses 55 and 56, and also in this chapter in verse number 10. In fact, in verse number 10, some of the names of these ladies are given. In verse 10, it says it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. But it's this group of women that are headed to the sepulcher on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. And they're coming, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and it says certain others with them, talking about certain other women. But they're bringing these spices which they had prepared to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. And that shows me that these women really were not expecting Jesus' body to be gone. They expected him to still be where he had been placed 3 days prior. The Bible says in verse 2, when they got there, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Now, we know from the other Gospels that this was a very large stone. The Bible calls it a great stone that was rolled in place to secure and seal off the tomb. And we learn also from the other Gospels that as they were traveling to the sepulcher, they were talking among themselves and wondering who it was that was going to roll the big stone out of the way. And we learn from Matthew chapter 28, from Matthew's Gospel, that it was in fact the angel of the Lord that descended from heaven and rolled the stone out of the way. And the Bible says that he sat upon that stone. But whenever they come, because all of this has transpired, they find the stone rolled away. And verse 3 says, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. They go into this sepulcher, which we know from the Word of God actually belonged to a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, one of the men that helped take the body of Jesus Christ down off of the cross. And this sepulcher was very close, the Bible says, to the place where Jesus was crucified. And it belonged, as I said, to Joseph. It was one he had hewed out of stone. And the Bible tells us that no man prior to the Lord Jesus had ever lain in that sepulcher. And when these ladies come, they see the stone rolled away, and they go in expecting to find the body of Jesus and expecting to anoint his body with the spices they brought. But the Bible says, thank God, amen. Thank God, the Bible says in verse 3, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. We know from reading the Gospels, comparing Scripture with Scripture, that the Jews passed around a lie that someone had come and stolen the body of Jesus Christ. But we know from the testimony of Scripture that nobody stole the body of Jesus Christ. We know he rose again from the dead, and of his own power and own volition, he got up and he walked out of that sepulcher. One reason why we know he's alive today is because the sepulcher is empty. It can't be said about any other religious leader. It cannot be said about any other religious leader. You go to their grave sites or the tombs or wherever it is they are, and you will find their body, but you cannot find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ because he is alive today. Amen. We know he's alive because the sepulcher is empty. Number two, let me say this. Not only do we know he's alive because the sepulcher is empty, we also know he is alive because the servants declared it. The servants declared it. When I say the servants here, I'm talking about heavenly servants. Take a look with me again at Luke chapter 24 and verse number 4. It says there in verse 4, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. This is referring to the women. They're perplexed. In fact, it says they're much perplexed. And the word perplexed means to be confused, puzzled, bewildered. So they're just bewildered and amazed about his body not being there. They don't understand at this point what has happened. So they're much perplexed thereabout. And while they're much perplexed about, the Bible says, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And we learn from John's Gospel, chapter 20, that these two men were actually angels. And in the Bible, we're told that angels are servants of God. These two men, these two angels, say to the women, look verse 5, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, these servants said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you out here looking for somebody that's alive among dead people? This isn't where you need to be. You're among dead people, and the one you're looking for is not dead anymore. Verse number 6, here's the greatest words that ever came out of a cemetery. He is not here, but is risen. Those are the words of the heavenly service. They declared the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Two angels showed up on this occasion and told these ladies exactly what had happened. They were perplexed. They didn't understand what had happened. So God sent these two angels to clear it up for them, to let them know he is not here. He is risen. Now, I want to say this before I move on to the next point. These heavenly servants declared the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God the Father expects his earthly servants to be faithful to declare the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look on down in this same chapter. Hold your place here at the beginning. But look on down toward the end of this chapter, Luke chapter 24, and look at verse number 46. Luke 24, verse 46. Jesus is talking, and he says unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Look at verse 47. In that repentance and remission of sins should be, what is that word? Preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice he said repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. You know, one of the glorious, grand, awesome truths of the resurrection is the fact that because Jesus Christ is alive, any lost person in this world can be saved to the uttermost. Any person in this world that is lost and on their way to heaven, and here's reality, whether they realize it or not, a person that does not know Jesus Christ is lost. They're undone. The Bible says they're without hope, they're without Christ, they're without God, and if they die in that condition, they're going straight to hell, and one day they're going to wind up in the lake of fire, and they're going to suffer there for all eternity. That's the bad news. But the gospel is good news. And the good news of the gospel is Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any lost person in this world can be saved. Isn't that wonderful? I talked about it a little bit in the early service this morning. Those of us present today that are saved. You know why we're saved? You know why we're saved and why we have hope today? Because we've trusted in a living Savior. That's why. We have salvation because Jesus Christ is alive. And any lost person in the world can have the same salvation that we have today. If you're here today and for some reason you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have assurance of your salvation, let me just spend a little bit of time, if you don't mind, addressing whoever that might be. Let me say something to you. Every year on Easter Sunday, there are people who go to church that don't go to church any other time out of the year. They get all dolled up and put on their suit and ties. These men wearing ties in here, I ain't ever seen wear a tie before. I didn't even recognize Brother Tim to start with. And this brother, I still don't know for sure who he is sitting over here. Dylan's got on a bow tie this morning. All right. Well, people get all dressed up on Easter. They go to church. And for whatever strange reason, I don't know where this deception comes from, but they feel like they've thrown God a bone by coming to church on Easter. I've showed up on Easter. I've done my duty, and you won't see nothing out of them the rest of the year. And I guess maybe they think they're earning some kind of brownie points with God because they show up on Easter. Let me tell you something. I love you with all my heart. That's why I'm fixing to say what I'm going to say. You can come to Easter service every day for the rest of your life, and if you don't know Christ, you're going to hell when you die. Showing up at church on Easter Sunday and throwing God that bone does not make you a Christian any more than me going to Burger King makes me a hamburger. You understand? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to trust Him. It's about a relationship with Him. It's not about religion and showing up on resurrection or Easter Sunday, whatever you want to call it. It's not about that, friend. It's about a personal relationship with a sovereign God that died in your place and was buried in a grave and rose again 3 days later. One that's alive right now. And His servants declared His resurrection, and God expects His earthly servants to still declare His resurrection. Those of us that are saved need to be preaching among all nations, telling as many people as we can what those angels told those two women. He is not here, but is risen. So why do we know He's alive? Number one, we know He's alive because the sepulcher is empty. Number two, because His servants declared it. Number three, let me say this. We know He is alive because the Savior said it. The Savior said it. Look once again here at Luke chapter 24. And look, if you would, at verse 5. Or excuse me, verse 6. They say, He is not here, these two angels, but is risen. Now here it is. Remember, the angels say to the ladies, remember how he is referring to Jesus, how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, and what they do, what these two angels do, is remind these women of what Jesus had said before any of it ever took place. He says, remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Look at verse 8. And they remembered His words. Whose words? The words of Jesus. You know why we know He's alive? Because the Savior said it. We have His word on it. Now, I guess we in a day and time now where a person's word don't mean near as much as it used to, right? There was a point where if somebody gave you their word, you knew that unless they died or something horrible happened, they were going to follow through with that, right? That's the way it was. We don't live in that world anymore, I can guarantee you. But thank God there are still a few good people in our world today that if they tell you something, you can take it to the bank. Praise God for that. But what I'm saying is that men's words may fail, but has there ever been a time when His words failed? We have His words on it. Jesus Christ said before it ever happened. In fact, He told His disciples several times before any of it happened exactly what was going to happen. He knew where He was going. He knew what to expect. He knew what He would have to endure. And He tried His best to prepare His disciples for what they would have to face in the future. He told them again and again before it ever happened. And exactly what He said came to pass. But here's something else I notice in the Scripture. Not only did the Savior say it before it happened, He said it after it happened. Because He rose again the third day, He was able to say it after it happened. Hold your place right here. And I want to show you a verse of Scripture in the book of Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 with me just a moment. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, John sees the Lord Jesus Christ in His glorified condition. And in verse 17, Revelation 1:17, the Bible says, John speaking, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. This is Jesus talking. I am the first and the last. I am, here it is, He that liveth. You know what that means? Liveth. That's present tense. He's telling John, I'm alive. This is Jesus Christ telling John, I am alive. I am He that liveth and was dead. He did die for our sins. He was that one eternal payment and sacrifice for our sins, but the Bible says he died unto sin once, only one time. But he was dead. But here it is, and behold, I am alive for how long? Evermore. And Jesus said, that's such good preaching, I'm just going to amen myself. Y'all see it? Amen. Amen. Jesus said it. He said it before it ever happened, and he said it after it happened. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. How do we know Jesus Christ is alive? Because the Savior said it. Number four, let me say this. Go back to Luke chapter 24 with me. Not only do we know he's alive because the sepulcher is empty, the servants declared it, the Savior said it, but number four, because the saints saw him. The saints saw him. There were literally hundreds of people. Not one or two, not just a few, but hundreds of people that saw Jesus Christ alive after his passion. After his death on the cross, they saw him with their own eyes, visibly alive. Not only did they see him with their eyes, some of them actually got to touch him with their hands. Even put their fingers into the very scars left on his body by the nails. So how do we know Jesus Christ is alive? The saints saw him. Look here, and we don't have the time to read all of these, but I want to reference some of them. Beginning in verse 13 of chapter 24 and going all the way down through verse 32, Luke tells us about two people that were traveling on the road to Emmaus. And as they're traveling along and communing together and talking about all the stuff that's transpired concerning the Lord Jesus, the Bible says in verse number 15 that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He just shows up while they're walking along and talking. Just walking and talking, communing together, traveling toward Emmaus, and all of a sudden, Jesus Christ shows up and he starts to walk along with them. But the Bible says in verse 16, their eyes were holding that they should not know him. They didn't immediately recognize the Lord. And they begin to have a conversation with the Lord Jesus. And we won't read all of this conversation, but the conversation is about him and all the things that had happened concerning him in the days prior. When you get down to verse number 30, notice it says, and it came to pass as he said it, meet with them. They had stopped off along the way and they had asked the Lord, invited the Lord to come and be with them, and he came in and he sat down with them to eat. And it says, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Verse 31, those eyes that had been holding are now open, the scripture says. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. That's two people that saw the Lord Jesus Christ with their eyes. Verse 32 says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? They had some spiritual heartburn. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. They're back in Jerusalem and in the upper room. And there's the 11 and there's some other people that are gathered with them. Look at verse 34. Saying the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. They come back and they want to tell the 11 and others, hey, Jesus is alive. We've seen him. But by the time they get back, the Lord has already appeared to Simon. And these people are saying what the two men wanted to say to them. They're saying the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Look at verse 36. Wouldn't you like to have been there on this occasion? I sure would have. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be there? Just be there when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up. I hope that I'm here when he shows up the next time, don't you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if he showed up today? Man, it'd be wonderful. It'd be great. I know we have plans and things we hope to do later on, but look, I just wish he'd come on back, don't you? Just show up today. Wouldn't it be a blessing if he just showed up right now? I would be perfectly all right with him interrupting this message and just taking us all to glory to be with him. But here's these disciples talking in this room, and there he is. He just shows up. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposing they had seen a spirit. Thought they'd seen a ghost. I don't know, maybe they've been watching some horror movies or something. And look at this. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Look at this. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He says to them, handle me and see. That is, come over here and put your hands on me. Touch me. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. These saints saw the Lord Jesus. They saw the scars left in his body from his sacrifice. They saw him take a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb and eat it in his presence. Others touched him and handled him, put their hands on his body and got to actually feel his body after his resurrection. And these were not by far the only ones. Paul tells us later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Over 500 people at one time saw the Lord Jesus Christ alive after his resurrection. And then Paul says this, and then he says, he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. You know when Paul seen him? Do y'all remember that? When Paul got to see him there on the road to Damascus, he got to see the Lord Jesus Christ alive after he died on the cross. How do we know? How do we know Jesus is alive? We know he's alive because the saints saw him. Let me give you a couple more. Number five. And this one's a little more personal. But we know he's alive because of the salvation we enjoy. The salvation we enjoy. Here in this chapter, you get down to verse 46 where we were earlier. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. What he's saying is it had to happen. It was something that had to happen. And then he says, and that repentance and remission of sins. Look at that. Remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. You know what these men did after this occasion? Later on, they went out. They started there in Jerusalem where they were, which is what the Lord told them to do. And then they went out from Jerusalem, eventually to all of the known world, and they preached to everybody they could the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Told as many people as they could, hey, Christ died on the cross. He paid for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And all over that part of the world and the places they went, as you read on in the book of Acts, you read about the Apostle Paul and how after his salvation he went out on these missionary journeys. He traveled to so many different places. So many places, and everywhere he went, he preached and he preached and he preached and he told people about Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? All over that place, people got saved. People were getting saved everywhere. Think about the early chapters of the book of Acts as these people are doing what they were told to do as they're preaching. Literally, thousands of people there in Jerusalem come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and are baptized and become members of the church there in Jerusalem. And then they spread out from there. Acts chapter 8 talks about how because they were persecuted, the men and the women went everywhere preaching the word, and all over they're preaching and they're telling people about Jesus, and everywhere they go, people are getting saved and churches are getting established. That's what we read about in the Bible. But church history is full of accounts and stories of people that have personally come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, starting all the way back at the time we're reading about here and coming through to right now. How many of y'all know and believe this morning folk are still getting saved right now in this world? There are people still getting saved because there's still some folk that are being faithful to preach the gospel. There's still people around this world, people in this country, people in other countries, missionaries that have sold out and sacrificed all the luxuries of this land to go somewhere that they've never really been before and tell people about Jesus Christ. And in this country and countries all over the world, people are still getting gloriously saved. You know why? Because Jesus is alive. I don't know about you, but I'm saved this morning. I'm saved. You know why I'm saved? I'm saved because there was a man one night in a little Baptist church in Rose Hill, Alabama, who got up and he told me what I'm trying to tell you today. He told me Jesus is alive and he'll save you if you trust him. And that night I went down to an altar and I bowed my knee and my head and my heart and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And I'm saved today. I am saved and on my way to heaven. And here's something that would be good for all us Baptists to get in on. I enjoy being saved. You know what I mean? I'm not ashamed of being saved. It's not something that I feel like is pulling me down. It's not a ball and chain in my life. It is my life. It's everything to me. I would be hopeless today without the salvation that I have. I enjoy being saved, and I know He is alive because I feel His presence in my heart, in my life, almost every day that I exist on this planet. You enjoy being saved? You ever sensed His presence in your life? How do we know He's alive? You know He's alive because of the salvation that you enjoy. And last of all, let me say this. We know He is alive because of His Spirit that was sent. Look right here in chapter 24 and verse number 49. The Bible says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until," not forever, "but until ye be endued with power from on high." He says, "I send the promise of my Father upon you." You know what promise He's talking about? He's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says, you stay there in Jerusalem until that promise comes and you're endued with power from on high. And that's what they did. Acts chapter 2 is where you read the story of how the Holy Spirit came down upon them in that upper room that day. But that's what He's talking about. He says, there's coming a time after I leave when I'm going to send the promise of my Father. And according to Romans chapter 8, that Holy Spirit that came down, that came upon those men, that comes inside every person that receives Jesus Christ, is, y'all listening to me, the Spirit of Christ. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, if I go away, listen, I will come unto you. That Spirit, that promise of the Father that came, that lives inside of every Christian that's here today. You know who that is living in you? Do you understand this morning who you got living in you, Christian? Do you understand? You got the one I'm talking about this morning. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, residing in you if you're saved. And every day, all along the journey, you know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? It says He bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Folks, we have a living Savior. How do we know Jesus Christ is alive? We know it because the sepulcher is empty. The service declared it. The Savior said it. The saints saw Him. The salvation we enjoy and the Spirit that was sent that lives in us today. If you're here this morning, by chance you're not saved, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could make people get saved? They wouldn't be a lost person in the world. I'd make everybody get saved, just like you would. I wish there was something I could say. I really wish there was something I could say, something I could do that would make you understand this morning how much you need Jesus Christ. I wish that before you left, you would trust him, where you'd have that personal relationship that I have and other people in this building have. There's not anything I can do to make you get saved. All I can do is give you the good news. Here's the good news. Christ died for your sins. He died for your sins. You understand that? Your sins. Was buried. And he rose again the third day. He's alive. Amen. If you'll just trust him. It's just this simple. You take him. He'll take you. Won't you do that today? And get the peace and the joy and the hope that only a living Savior can give. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, come to you again today, thankful for this day, this opportunity. Thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm thankful that I know where I'll be in eternity because he lives. And I'm thankful that I can face tomorrow on this earth because he lives. Thank you for your presence that's so real, so wonderful. Thank you for all you do. Please, Lord, if there's anybody here lost, help them to see that they're lost. Help them not to worry about anybody else in here or anything else that's going on, but to come and trust you as their personal Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.